We would like to welcome you into the services of Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church with Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus. Our service times are Sunday morning at 9:45, Sunday night at 6, and Wednesday at 7. We're located just 9 miles out the Kingsport Highway and would love for you to join us. Now, we would like to welcome you into the services of Pastor Brother Oscar McCamus.
This is about the man that walked with God, and God took him, the man by the name of Enoch. There in chapter 5 of Genesis, verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 5 and 6. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had the testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Over in the book of Jude, verse 14 and verse 15. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints, to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and all their hard speech, of which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. As I said, I've used this scripture many times, I'm sure, and probably used the same text, but maybe I want to look at it a little different this morning than I have previously. But if I would take a text, it's just simply walking with God. Now, these eight verses, they were eight verses that I read here in the scriptures, and they are all the information that we have concerning Enoch. That's all the information that you'll find in the Word of God concerning this man. And I believe that he's called here the seventh from Adam, to distinguish him from the other Enoch that is recorded in the Word of God. And he, the one that the Bible says from the line of Cain, who was the third generation from Adam. So there were two Enochs, and this is to distinguish the one that we're talking about here when it says that he was the seventh from Adam. So someone has said that the patriarchs of old, like Enoch, were not only taught of God, but they themselves, they were teachers. And so God sent them as types and as and set forth examples as exhibition of truth. And so here Abel, as we know, just give you an example of what I'm talking about. We know that Abel teaches us the need of approaching God with a proper sacrifice. And many of the others taught various lessons of the old patriarch. And I think here that Enoch teaches you and I as Christians the need for us to have communion with God. I believe this is what this teaches us. How important that it is as you as a Christian that you have communion with God. And so his biography, the biography is written in 13 words. And this is the 13th word. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And his testimony is written in 3 words. He pleased God. Boy, that's a good testimony. I wish that God would think that of me. The testimony that God would have of me is that he pleases me. And so the first thing I want you to see here is that Enoch walked with God. Over in the book of Amos, chapter 3 and verse 3, the Amos says, can two walk together except they be agreed? Can two walk together except that they be agreed? Now, I want you to see that little word agreed there. Now this little word right here makes this verse mean this right here. How can two walk together except they have a meeting place at a certain time? In other words, I can't walk with you tomorrow unless I meet you somewhere and we get together and we start walking together after we have that meeting from that point on. So I think you can see what I'm saying is there has to be a meeting place in order for two people to walk together. And so the only place for you to meet with God and to start your walk with Him is at the cross. That's the only meeting place. And that's God's appointed meeting place. There is no other place to start with Him. When I say at the cross, I mean at a place where you bow and confess your sin and repent of your sins and born into the family of God. And so the Bible says that Christ has also once suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. 1 Peter 3:18, it's only at the cross that we meet with God, because our sins separates us from God. So you have to have the cross. You have to have the altar. You have to have the meeting place where that you come and repent of your sin. Now look what the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy, that it cannot hear. But your iniquities, your sins, have separated between you and your God. And you, your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear. Now, 10,000 years ago, or 2,000 years ago, we understand that Jesus Christ took our sins. He took the sins of the human race upon Him in His own body. And while He was bearing our sins, God punished His Son Jesus in our place. And the punishment that He placed upon Jesus satisfied the judgment of God through the death or the sacrifice of His Son. And it pleased God to bring to bruise Him and to make His Son an offering for our sins. So therefore, the only place where we can meet with God is at Calvary. You got to take care of the sin before you can walk with Him. Before you can have communion with Him, you got to take care of the sin issue. You've got to get forgiveness of your sin, because that sin is separating you from God, and you cannot walk together if you're separated. Now listen to what I'm saying. You may say, I pray. Well, you do, and that's good. I'm glad that you do. But the Bible says, unless that you have taken care of that sin, then God don't hear you. Only time He hears you when you come and repent and say, God, forgive me, a sinner. And so you got to have, in order to walk together, you got to have that meeting place. You got to have that time. And so if I, this morning, in the next 5 minutes, and it could happen, in the next 5 minutes, if I was standing at heaven's gate, and God would ask me, what right have you to be here? What right do you have to be here at heaven's gate? What do you think that you deserve to be here to seek entrance into heaven? I'd have to say, in my hands no price I bring. Simply to the cross I cling. Listen, that's the only right that any of us has to go to heaven. Right. It's because of the cross. That's the meeting place. Yeah. That's where that you meet. And so the substitutionary death of Jesus on the cross makes for us the meeting place with God. I met Him several years ago. I went to church from the time that I was 6 or 7 years old. Nobody made me go to church. I lived just on the hill above the church, and when it came church time, I'd walk to church. I loved to go to church. I loved to hear the stories about Jesus. I loved to hear about the Bible characters. I enjoyed church. And I think, and never really understood salvation, never really understood it all in detail of what it was, but I knew one thing was that I loved Jesus. And then I remembered when I was about 21 years old, at Britain Town when the Word of God was preached, and I fell in conviction and realized that I had been a churchgoer for all these years, but I hadn't been born again. And then I got saved. I met him there. But I want to say this. I met him at a very young age, and I've not always walked with him since our meeting place that I wished I would have walked with him. There's times that I've walked in ways that's contrary. Not always walked in the way that I should. I did not know all that was involved in walking with God. But there has been periods in my life when my walk with him and his presence was so real. There's been times when I've laid at bed of a night and praying that it seemed so real that I would even open my eyes to see if he was standing there. And I know that you've had those experiences too. Those experiences when Christ has been so real in your life. And I know that we don't go by feelings. I understand that we walk by faith and we live by faith. But I believe with all of my heart, if you have your faith in the right one, then it produces feelings. You do have feelings if your faith is in the right one. Now listen, I'm sure that you've had these times also. You've had times when his presence was more real than at other times. I think every one of us here this morning would say that, yes, preacher. There's been times when his presence was so real, and there've been other times when I never couldn't even feel his presence. And I think we all understand that because you met him at the appointed meeting place. How can two walk together except they agree? So I think the first thing in walking with God is that you first of all have to meet him for the forgiveness of your sins and for the redemption of your soul and to be born into the family of God for you to be able to start that walk with God. And then Enoch realized this divine presence. And again, I don't want to overemphasize feelings. I don't want to do that. But there's been times when you realize his divine presence that you did not feel at other times. Maybe when a great tragedy has happened in your life. Maybe when you had a death of a loved one, a spouse or a child or a mom or dad. Maybe it's been those times of hardships or sufferings that you've had those special times and where you feel his presence so real. And so I want to say I can remember those times in my life. I can remember those times when tragedy happened, when death happened, all those kind of times, and you just sort of slip away and get by yourself, and you just talk with God as you would talk with anybody, and seem like he would just come down and meet with you. And I'm sure we've all had those times. I remember when the Lord was calling me to preach, and I was wrestling with that so much, and I didn't think I could do it, and you're probably saying, preacher, you're right, you couldn't, you should have listened to yourself back then. But anyway, I remember those kind of times, and I'd get out in my car and I'd ride around and pray about that, about whether I should accept the calling, announce the calling or not. I remember praying, and I remember going down the highway beating on the steering wheel and preaching up a storm, and I visualized preaching in front of big crowds, and this is what I'd see the approaching cars and trucks coming, and I'd visualize that as sinners walking down the aisle, and they was coming to Jesus. Boy, it was wonderful. Those times that you have in your life, as you can think back when the presence of God was so real, and that's the way it was Enoch. He sensed those times, not just on special occasions, but he sensed those times every day of his life. Enoch walked with God. Not only implied that he met with God, it also implies that he realized his divine presence with him. Do you realize that every day? Do you realize every day of your life that he is with you? Do you realize that he's present with you as he walks with me and as he talks with me? And he tells me I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Yes, I'm old-fashioned. I want you to know I like being old-fashioned. I'm going to stay old-fashioned. I'm going to die old-fashioned. I hope they bury me old-fashioned. But I want to be old-fashioned because I like something that's got some reality to it. Yes. I don't want this. I don't want this wildfire. I want something that's real. Yes. I want something that I can feel. Enoch had this constant fellowship with God. He walked with God continually. Enoch walked with God after he begot Methuselah 300 years. I've seen people walk with God for 5 years. Since I've been pastoring, I've seen people walk with God for 2 years. Since I've been pastoring, I've seen God walk with people for 1 year. I've seen people walk with God for even less than that. And I'm not saying that these people are not saved. I'm saying that they've not lived in constant communion with God. They've not lived that life. They've lost the joy of their salvation. They have no fellowship with God because of their sin. And that is so sad. That is so sad that people allow themselves. They start out walking with God. And then they don't have no fellowship with God, no communion with God because of their sin. They no longer love the Bible. They no longer care about the things of God. And we don't need to make on like this. What I'm saying is not true, because we know it's true. Every one of us sitting here, we've got people in our own families, our own circle of friends, our own extended families that once walked with God, but now they're not. They're not constantly walking with God. Some of you may be sitting right here this morning. And I don't know anybody's heart. I appreciate you being here. I know you love the Lord or you wouldn't be here this morning. But some of you here, maybe you don't love the Bible. Maybe you don't love the Word of God like you used to. There's a time maybe when you couldn't hardly wait. Said, boy, I wish they would be quiet and wish they'd go ahead and turn the preacher loose. I can't wait to hear what God's got for us this morning. Just couldn't, so anxious to turn and hear the Word of God. You were so excited about picking up the Word of God and reading it, because you knew that God was talking to you through His Word. Do you realize that when you pick up this book and you open and you begin to read, do you realize that it is Almighty God that is speaking to you through His Word? Not just another book. It's not just another book. This is the Word of God. You knew that His Word was like a letter that's written just to you. That's how that I have personalized this book. When I pick this book up, I sense it as just as a love letter that God has personally written to me. I know that it's written to everyone, but it's written to me. During that time, as we think about, there was times when you look forward, getting along in prayer and being alone with God and praying. You could almost feel Him bending over His ear to listen to you. That's how real that it was. You could just almost sense that. There's times when you would open up your Bible and say, oh boy, I get to read from God's Word. There was times when you got excited about hearing the preacher's voice. Listen, now you can hardly stay awake during the time of Bible reading, during the time of prayer, during the time of preaching. From the time that Enoch was saved, he walked with God. From the time that Enoch was saved, he walked with God. People ask the question, how was Enoch saved? Well, I'm glad you asked me that, because he was saved by faith just like everybody else is. You mean just like I? Yes, absolutely. If you're saved, all of us got saved the same way, by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus had not yet come at that time, but Enoch believed that Jesus would come. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death and was not found. Because God had translated him before his translation, he had the testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. See, here's how you get saved. Must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We believe that too. Jesus, because Jesus did not come, did come, and Jesus did die on the cross. Now it's just like two people. This is how it relates to Enoch and us being saved by faith. It's just like a light pole or a telephone pole standing here. And I'm on this side of the pole, and you're on this side of the pole, and we're leaning against the pole. What I'm saying is, we're on opposite sides. But we're still, both of us, even though we're on opposite sides, we're leaning against the same post. Us and Enoch were opposite sides of the pole, which was Jesus Christ. But we are both saved by the faith in the same Jesus. While Jesus' body was in the grave, Jesus went to the spirits that were in prison, and he preached and said, "Here I am. Here is the one that was prophesied, that was coming to pay the sin debt on the cross of Calvary." And the Bible says that he led the captivity captive, and led them to, they were there in that place called paradise, until Jesus died on the cross. So if everyone who goes to heaven has to go by the route of the substitutionary death of Jesus Christ. Enoch walk continued for over 300 years. Boy, you can't get people to walk with God 6 months anymore. You've got to baby them. You've got to pet them. You've got to pat them. You've got to watch. You've got to guard every word you say, because if you say something that has the slightest tone to it that might offend them, they're gone. They're gone. Me and Johnny was talking the other night on visitation. It worries me how people use God. It worries me how that people use anything and everything to give them an excuse to stay away from God, stay away from church. That's serious. Listen, he continued for over 300 years. I like Christians who are steadfast. I like Christians who are always there. One day a little boy was out rubbing down his horse. It was like the old horse that I used to have as an old plug. But that boy, he loved that horse anyway. And somebody came by and asked him, said, "Son, can that horse run fast?" And he said, "No, he can't run fast, but he can stand fast." And that's what I like. In other words, I'd rather be around those who stand fast than those who run fast. I'd rather be around those who are faithful rather than those who are flashy. I'd rather be around those who are faithful than those who are fickle. I'd rather be around those who are fruitful rather than those who are fruitless. Listen, Paul said, "The things that I've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit them to faithful men." Listen to that. Faithful men who will be able to teach others also. 1 Corinthians 4:2, "Moreover, it's required in stewards." If you're saved, then you're a steward of God. And he said it's required of you. It's not a choice. It's a requirement of you that you, a man, be found faithful. God didn't say that it's required that you sing. God didn't say that it's required that you preach good or you teach good. God didn't say that it's required that you be this or that, but God said it's required of you as a steward that you be faithful. Faithful. Everybody can be faithful. We all can't sing good. We all can't do this good or that good, but everybody can be faithful.
Man.
And that's what's required. Your reward in heaven. Now listen to this. You need to hear this because you're going to be there one of these days, and they're going to give out some rewards in heaven. Your rewards in heaven will not be based on what you did. Now you listen to what I'm saying. They'll be based on faithfulness to opportunities given to you. That's what your rewards are going to be based on. The opportunity. Some people have more opportunities than others does. And your reward is going to be based on the faithfulness that you do with the opportunities that present. There's three parables in the Bible that has to do with service. One is the parable about the man who hired workers. He hired some workers early in the morning. He hired some workers mid-morning. He hired some workers at lunchtime. He hired some workers an hour before the end of the day. And you know what that parable said that man did? At the end of the day, he gave the fellow that he hired at the 11th hour that had just worked 1 hour, he gave him the same amount of money that he gave those that he hired earlier in the day. What does our old sinful flesh say to that? It's not fair. He had worked 1 hour and I worked 12 hours. He got the same amount of money that I did. Well, that's what our human flesh says. But Jesus gave this parable to teach us a spiritual lesson. He gave us this parable to teach us something very important. The man that he hired there the 11th hour didn't work as long as the others did, but he was faithful to the opportunity that was given to him. He only had the opportunity to work 1 hour, and he was faithful. He could have said, well, it's almost the end of the day, so I'm not going to just work 1 hour. But no, he was faithful. Everyone must be faithful to the opportunities that's given to you. There's going to be opportunities that are going to be given to you. And you're required to be faithful when those opportunities are given to you for service. And so Enoch walked continually. He wasn't a quitter. I know that people are going to say anything and everything about me when I'm gone. Some of it will be true and some of it won't be true. So many heartaches and troubles in life is because people only know one side of stories. But one thing that I hope will never be said of me is that he was a quitter. I hope that I'll be faithful to the end. I hope that I die climbing rather than sliding back off. I don't want to ever be retreating. But I want to be going forward. A little boy in Sunday school said about the translation of Enoch. Said it happened when he and the Lord was walking together one day. And the Lord said, Enoch, you're closer to my house than you are to your house, so come up here and spend the day with me. And boom, he was gone. We don't know exactly how it happened. The Bible didn't seem fit to tell us how that happened. But we do know that one day he went out and he never came back. We know that people look for him. You say, how in the world do you know that people look for him? Well, the Bible tells you there if you read it. How do you know that people look for him? Because the Bible says that he was not found.
We would like to thank you for listening to the services of Brother Oscar McCamus. For more information about our church, please like us on Facebook at Union Temple Free Will Baptist Church or visit our website at uniontemplefwb.org.